But as I said in Exodus chapter number 3, if there was any sermon that I have ever preached that is basically about me, I think it's this one. This is my Exodus 3 and 4 are my favorite passages of Scripture. They basically outline an argument between Moses and God. I'll not read through the entire argument. I'll skip, or I guess that we could call it a debate. But I'll skip through some parts of it for time's sake. But this sermon God gave to me as a large result of things that I saw in myself. I know what it's like to argue with God. And Moses might have debated with God. I argued with God. And I did it for years and years and years. And because of that, this passage of Scripture, these two chapters, have largely become my favorite parts of the Bible, because my life verses are in chapter 4, and I'll read those to you in a minute. But God really, really spoke to me through this passage. God really got a hold of me, and as He loves to do so often, just kind of smashed me around. But I'm going to go ahead and start in Exodus 3, starting in verse number 1. And then I'm going to read down to verse 14. Starting in verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. This is awesome here. Watch. And Moses said this. There was no one around, and Moses said this. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. I could just imagine that. Imagine being a fly on the cactus or something there. Okay, imagine imagine Moses not knowing that you're there and listening, and there's a bush that's burning, and that's just weird. And then Moses, there's no one around, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this bush. This just caught me this past week. I've read this passage of Scripture so many times. And then I read that, and I was like, Moses must have been a character. What is up with that? But, I mean, he was out there talking to himself. But he was a shepherd, so I guess that's understandable. But, and then in verse number 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. If you would, please skip ahead to chapter 4, starting in verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. This is the start of my life's verse, starting in verse number 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Let's go ahead and pray before I get started. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given me to preach, this opportunity to share your word and what you've laid on my heart. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd please be with me. Help me to say only what you would have me to say, nothing else. I pray that you'd help me to focus, keep my mind clear and my words sound. In Jesus' name, amen. Another reason that I love this passage of Scripture is because it really shows that we do indeed have a God that majors in the incredible. The story of the burning bush, I just find that story comical. Call me bad. I just do. There's a random bush, and it's burning, but it's not burning. There's a flame, but the bush is not burning. And God speaks to Moses out of the book. Out of the bush, and then Moses is talking to himself. And it's just, which that is new to me, and I love that. Moses talked to himself. See, I have a habit of talking to myself sometimes, and now I have a license for it. Someone says, you're talking to yourself, and I'm like, Moses did it? But anyways, I think that we've all kind of been at the point in time where Moses is here now. The point where God tells you to go and do something, and you're like, hold up. Perhaps not in the big picture, but I think that we've all debated with God a little bit. I think that we've all had our arguments with God. I think that God has had to deal with all of us a little bit. And that's a good thing for a couple of reasons, but I'll talk about that later. But there's a lot of things in my life that I've done that I'm not particularly proud of. I think that we can all say that. However, probably the one thing that shames me the most about my life is that I knew that I was called to preach when I was 9 years old, or 8 years old. I preached for the first time when I was 9. I knew that I was called to preach when I was 8 years old, and I started preaching when I was 9, and I never stopped. But I didn't surrender to it until years later, because I didn't want to preach. I argued with God about it for years and years. I resisted God. Friend, be absolutely certain of one thing. Whenever God tells you to do anything, if it's going to full-time ministry, or if it's walk over to that person and give them a track, if your response is not doing exactly what he said when he said to do it, you are resisting God. Absolutely. And that's what Moses was doing here. God said, go to Egypt. And Moses had an argument with him about it. Moses was resisting God here. But what exactly was he resisting? If you look in chapter number 3, verse number 10, it says, Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? The first thing that Moses was resisting was he was resisting allowing God to use him. He was resisting allowing God to use him. One of the greatest privileges that any of us could ever be granted, one of the most honorable things that any of us could ever do is be used by God. And Moses was resisting that. I'll get into why a little bit later. But Moses was resisting allowing God to use him. Whenever God tells you to do anything, anything, whether it's go soul winning, whether it's teach a Sunday school, doesn't matter what it is, God wants to use you. That's what God wants from you. God does not want you to just come to church and sit on the back pew and not listen three times a week or once a week or whatever it is. That's not what God wants from you. He wants to use you. You are one of His children. He wants to use you to get something accomplished. He wants to use you in His work, in His ministry. Perhaps not to the degree that He would say use Pastor Schreeder or Brother Sanford. But to a certain extent, you have your place. And God wants to use you in that place. You say, wow, you're blowing my mind with all of these deep thoughts. See, I don't operate that way. This is all basic stuff. And that's what I preach on, basic stuff. Stuff that God works on me about and basic stuff, which is one and the same. And this is basically a sermon on basic things. Things that we all know, but at least for me, I'm simple-minded, and people have to remind me things all of the time. It's like, David, go mow the lawn. David, go weed eat. And like they'll have to tell me over and over and over again. And God's the same way. God has to tell me the same things over and over and over again. But Moses was resisting allowing God to use him. There is no joy on this earth and no contentment. Being content. I'm not sure if contentment is the right word. But there is no better place of being content than knowing that God is using you. The peace that you feel when you know God is using it. It's weird though, because there's peace here and there's excitement right here. It's incredible knowing that God is using you and allowing God to use you. Moses was resisting allowing God to use him. Also in, let's try here, verse number 11 again. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And then down again in verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And then there's a few more spots here in these passages. But Moses was also allowing God, resisting God's direction in his life. You see, allowing God to use you and allowing God to direct you are not the same things. Allowing God to direct you is often the preface to allowing God to use you. You have to allow God to direct you first. See, what God wanted to do was God wanted to use Moses to free the children of Israel from bondage. But in order for that to happen, Moses had to allow God to direct him to Egypt. So allowing God to direct you and allowing God to use you are not always the same things. But here God was telling Moses to go to Egypt. He said, pick up your family and go to Egypt. And Moses didn't want to do that. Moses resisted it. I think that a lot of us do the same things. But life is all about doing things that we don't want to do. It really is. I notice that more and more and more. Life is all about doing things that you don't want to do. I'd say probably like 50% of my life revolves around washing dishes. We accumulate a lot of dishes in my house. And a large part of my life revolves around washing dishes. I hate washing dishes. I hate it. You say you're a Christian, you're not supposed to hate things. I'm in sin. Okay? I do. I hate washing dishes. But I gotta wash them. Why? Because Dad says to wash them. Mom says to wash them. It's my job. I gotta wash the dishes, even though I don't like it. Life is all about doing things that you don't want to do. And there will be times in your life, as I'm sure you well know, that God will tell you to do something or to go somewhere that you don't want to go. Something that you don't want to do. But just know and just realize that God wants you there so that He can use you. That's what our lives should be all about, allowing God to use us. And God wants to direct you and guide you so that He can use you. Don't resist it. I've lived a lot of places that I necessarily did not want to live. I've lived a lot of places. But guess what? God has used my family in those places that we've gone. And it's a wonderful thing. Once you realize that God is working, and once you realize that God is using you, you really don't forget, you really don't remember so much. You kind of forget about the fact that you initially didn't want to go there. You initially didn't want to teach that class. You initially didn't want to take that big block of time out of your schedule on Wednesday to go to church. You initially didn't want to go door knocking. But you go because you feel that God wants you to go. If you just go and forget about yourself, you'll realize that God's going to use you if you allow Him to. Allow God to direct you. That's what life is all about. Allowing God to direct you and take you where He wants to take you so that He can use you. It's not something to complain about. It's not something to grumble and gripe about. It's something that is an honor. It is something that is a huge honor. Why exactly was it that Moses was resisting these huge honors? Why is it that we resist God sometimes? I think that there's a lot of reasons, but I believe that in this passage there are a couple that are laid out pretty clearly. I think that there are a lot of reasons why we do tend to resist God sometimes. And I think that this right here is one of them. I think that probably the first reason that Moses resisted God a little bit was because he was a tad bit shocked. Wouldn't you be shocked? He was so shocked he was talking to himself. That's pretty shocked. But I'm sorry, I just can't get over this whole talking to himself thing. It's like I never knew Moses was so cool. But he was a little bit shocked. Why? Because here he was out in the desert, he was minding his own business, he was walking along, he was doing his shepherdly duties, he was watching the sheep, making sure that this sheep stayed away from this sheep, and these two didn't get involved and get in a fight, and all that stuff. He was just doing his shepherdly stuff. And then he's out walking around and he sees a bush. It's burning, and that's just, I mean, come on, that would shock me. I'm a bit of a pyromaniac. I'm obsessed with fire. I love it. I love to look at it. I love to touch it. Yes, you can touch fire a little bit, but just for a very short time, and then it burns you. But I love to look at it. Lighters. My mom does not let me play with lighters because I'll run them dead. I'm very, very easily entertained, and I can just pick up a lighter and just switch it and just sit there and stare at the flame, and I'm like, it's the truth. It's horrible, but it's the truth. I love fire. But he was out there walking around and he sees this bush. And then he starts to look closer and he's like, that bush is not even burning. There's a flame inside of it, but the bush is not being consumed. There's a new kind of fire that I can obsess over. So he goes over there and he goes to look at it, and all of a sudden the bush starts talking to him and he's like, what on earth? I mean, come on, if you were a shepherd and that started happening to you, I mean, first he was out there in the Middle East. I mean, the heat had gotten to him, just like it's doing to me down here. The heat was getting to him. That's why I talk to myself, the heat. There we go, that works too. But the heat was getting to him, and the bush starts talking to him, and he's like, what on earth? And then the bush tells him to go back to Egypt after it says that it's the Lord. Of course, can't forget that part. But the bush tells him to go back to Egypt and to free the children of Israel. That would shock me. I mean, that would really shock me. Imagine the conversation at the dinner table that night. So, honey, what did you do today? You don't want to know. That would be the way that it was. I mean, that would just be shocking. But a lot of times that happens in our lives. A lot of times we'll just be going, you know, doing our thing, minding our own business, and all of a sudden God will ask us to do something that we didn't really think about doing. Something that came as a bit of a shock. Something that's kind of out of nowhere. It's like, no, God, see, this is the plan. No, God, see, this is what I want to do with my life. It's shocking. Why? Because you weren't planning on it. It wasn't in Moses' itinerary to go back to Egypt and free all the slaves. That wasn't something that he was planning on doing. And the same thing can happen with us. We can be so involved in our lives and so obsessed with what's going on in our little world that when God presents us with this huge opportunity and God wants us to go somewhere or God wants to use us in some way, that we're just like, hey, 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 this was not a part of the plan. What are you talking about? Why do you want me to go over there? But God, I really, really want to do this. God, I've been planning on this my whole life. God, this is what I really want to do. Please don't make me go and do that. There's people who've been there. I have been there. I have personally been there. That's how I know I've experienced it. I've said to God, God, I know that you want me to go and do that, but I really want to do this. And guess what I found out? That once you get over the shock, and once you stop thinking about your stinking self, you realize that you'd be far happier over here where God wants you to be than you would over here doing what you wanted to do. Why? Because again, that's what life is all about. Serving God, doing what God wants you to do. He was shocked. The bush was talking to him. I would be too. I think we all would be. If there's anybody here who would not be shocked if you went outside and a bush started talking to you, get out of here. Just go. Leave. It would scare me to death. He was a little bit shocked. And sometimes we can be shocked when God asks us to do something that we weren't planning on doing. Look, if you would, again in verse number 11 of chapter 3. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Closing my pocket watch. 1 second. I'm seeing what time it was. He didn't feel worthy. That was another reason that he resisted God, because he didn't feel worthy. Think about it. I think that on top of being shocked, I think that Moses did realize the honor here. Because he said to God, he said, Who am I to go and do that? See, in Egypt, by that day's standards, Moses was a murderer. Think about that. Moses walked around with that on his conscience. I'm quite sure it bugged him. By that day's standards, he was a murderer. He was also just a shepherd. Shepherds were not anything special. Shepherds were very much looked down upon. There was nothing special about Moses anymore. He used to be a prince of Egypt, but now he was a murderer and a shepherd. And he lived with the Midianites. And all of a sudden, here God comes at him with this incredible opportunity. And God says, I want you to go to Egypt and free my people who have been in bondage for hundreds of years. He said, I want you to be the person to go and do that. And here's Moses. He's like, Who am I to deserve that? Who am I to go and free God's people? It was also his people. From slavery. Who is he to be used of God in such a powerful way? You want it straight up? Moses wasn't worthy. He wasn't. Moses was not worthy to be used of God in the slightest, tiniest bit. Neither am I. Neither are any of you. Friend, we don't even deserve God to spit on us, let alone use us. We really don't. But He wants to use us anyways. If God wants you to do something, but you're not doing it because you don't feel worthy, maybe you don't feel like a good enough Christian to go and give someone the gospel. You say, Who am I? I've lived this horrible life. I've done all these horrible things. How can I go and say to someone, Hey, look at what God has done. Let me tell you about Jesus and what He did for you. You say, who am I to go and do that? You're nobody. But none of us are. And imagine if the person who led you to the Lord had done the same thing. Did you ever think about that? God wants to use us, even though none of us are worthy. None of us. We've all come short of the glory of God. But God wants to use us. He wants to give us His great honor. Sure, we're not worthy. You're right about that. We're not. But if God has called you to do it, He wants you to do it anyways. And it's not because He hates you. It's because that's how much He loves you. If you would, look back at Exodus chapter 2. Starting in verse number 11. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. When he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. This was where he was a murderer. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Raul, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter. And she bare him a son. And he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. If you would, look again at verse 21. And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And Moses was content. I think that this is the main reason that Moses resisted God. Moses was content with his life. Moses was content where he was. Moses wasn't looking for change. Moses was content. One of the things, when I preach at Needmore, pretty much every time that I preach, at some point in my sermon, I say, and I'm convinced that one of the main problems with Christians today. And so it's like each time I've got a different main problem. I'm not exactly sure how that works. But I think that one of the main problems... I'll say I think that a big problem with Christians today is that we get content.
That's right.
Yep. Just like Moses was, I think that Moses was resisting the Lord here because he was content where he was. And I think that a lot of Christians today, we get content with our lives. We get content with how our church is. We get content with the number of people coming. We get content with our family situation. We get content with our relationship with the Lord. And what happens when you're content? You're not looking for change. You're not looking to grow. Certainly, you're not looking to shrink. You're not looking to become farther away from the Lord. But you're not necessarily looking to become closer to the Lord. You're not looking for people to leave your church, but you're not necessarily looking for visitors every week. And you're not necessarily doing anything about bringing them in. A lot of people today, they get content. And if you're content with your relationship with God, guess what? There's a problem somewhere. There's a problem somewhere. We should always, always, every day, when we go to bed, we should be a little bit closer to God than we were when we woke up. We should do everything in our power in that day to draw closer to God. And if you're not, you're content. And you're stale. And you're calm. And there's no excitement. And there's no growth. If you're content. God came to Moses and said, Moses, go to Egypt and free my people from slavery. And Moses said, but God, I'm here in Midian. I've got a family. I've got a beautiful wife and a kid. I've got a job. I've got friends here. God, I'm content living here. I don't want to leave. I don't want to go to Egypt. I don't want to pack up my family and all of my possessions and leave all of the people that I love and go to Egypt. He said, I'm content right here. And that's fine. You can be content with the place that God has put you. But when God says it's time to go, it's time to go. When God wants to direct you somewhere else, you need to follow. If you're fine just teaching a Sunday school class, but God has called you to do something more in the church, it's time to do something more. Even if you weren't necessarily looking to do it. You say, how do I know? How do I know if I've become content? Look at yourself. Have you grown spiritually? Have you been out working in your church? Have you been working with your family? Think about what's on your heart. Think about what goes on in your head. Look at the signs. Look at the signs in your life. Are you content? And if so, do something about it. Try and get closer to God. Try and always grow a little bit. Try and talk to God more Thursday than you did on Wednesday. Ask God to show you something new every day. Don't become content with where you are spiritually. Don't become content with where your church is. Because that's when things just become a stale calm and nothing starts to happen. That's when God stops working. That's when you stop waking up excited every morning because you get to go and live another day for God. Why? Because you're content. Because there's been nothing exciting happening. The Christian life is an exciting one. It really is. If you let it. Something that... I'm done in just a minute. Sunday night in our church a couple of months ago. It was after the church service and people were kind of talking. And one of our newer members said that something that she had noticed in a lot of churches that she had gone to and visited was that it seemed like most places people were saved. And that was enough for them. It seemed like most of the churches that she went to, people were saved and that was enough for them. They weren't looking for revival in their church. They weren't looking for revival in their own life. They weren't looking to constantly draw closer to God because they had become content. Friend, if you spend a long period of time in a stale place of being content, I'm still struggling with the word contentment. I'm not. It sounds like a bad word, like content, contempt. It sounds like contempt. So I'm not sure. I'm not an English major. But if you spend a long period of time where you're just content with life, you're content with your daily devotions, you're content with how much you talk to God, you're content with how close you are to God, when God tries to do something in your life, you won't be looking for things to change and it's going to shock you. And you're going to resist. You say, how do you know? It happened to Moses. It's happened to me. I read about it happening to Moses and I've seen it happening to me. It's happened. And truth be told, I think that we all go through little bouts of being content. If you're in one of those bouts right now, please come out of it. Please realize that God has something more for you than just being content. Please realize that God wants you closer to Him tomorrow than you are today. You're not worthy of it. It might shock you a little bit that He wants that, but it's like I said, that's just how much He loves us.